Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
Well, welcome Elevation Church and welcome to all of our INC churches that may be joining online today. A special shout out to Pastors Thor and Joellen at North Point INC up there in Atherton. So great to have the far north Queenslanders with us today. My name is Ross Abraham, and along with Kathy, my wife, we get to oversee Elevation Church, and it's a great joy for me to be able to share with you today a encouragement. I pray it's an encouragement in this very awkward, uncertain time. I feel today it's a message for many of us. Whatever your situation may be right now, I want to be able to bring some life and some direction and some inspiration to you today. Let me read to you from the book of Psalms, chapter 30, verse 5. It says this, "For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning." Obviously, it's talking about God saying this, that his favor is a lifetime, but his anger is only for a moment. I think most people have this verse the wrong way around. We think that God's anger is for a lifetime and his favor is just for a moment. You see, for many of us, we think that God is an unhappy grandfather stewing under the surface, you know, waiting to explode upon the grandkids. And it's almost like for many of us that we see God as this being that is so infuriated after thousands of years of disobedience from his people. He's just waiting to explode. And I think for many of us that regardless of what the Bible may say, we tend to think that God wants to wait and see how we turn out before he begins to love us. But the Bible clearly says that his anger is only for a moment, but his favor. His favor is basically his face shining upon you, his countenance being upon us. The fact that God smiles at you, the fact that God likes you, he loves you, he wants to be with us, he wants to be close to us. Even in this social distancing, God wants to draw close to you and I. So when it comes to this understanding God's favor, it's important. What is in us is more important than what's around us. Plain and simple, favor is based upon a promise, not our performance. Favor is based upon a promise that thousands of years ago God made to his people that he would never, ever forget them. And I want to encourage you today that God's not waiting for you to perform better to attract his favor. And I want to share a word with you from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. In this scenario, we find that Israel had been split basically into two kingdoms. There was one kingdom was Israel, one kingdom was Judah. The southern kingdom was Judah, the northern kingdom was Israel. A civil war had broken out and a lot of in-house fighting. And the northern kingdom, Israel, had a succession of really bad, ugly kings, 19 in fact. And the last one, and probably the worst one, was a guy by the name of Ahab. Ahab married a cute little lady by the name of Jezebel. She lived in one of the neighboring nations of Sidon. And Jezebel had such influence in the land that she began to squeeze the very life of God out of Israel totally, to see the extinguishing of the Lord's name in Israel, and to see the establishment of her gods, which were called Baal. Baal basically represented hundreds of gods. It wasn't one god, it was hundreds of gods. And so Jezebel marrying the king Ahab begins to bring in her false cult, her false religion. And a few years after the marriage, the total land, the whole of Israel, the northern kingdom, is following Baal. And into this situation, God sends a man by the name of Elijah. The Bible doesn't say a lot about where he came from. We know that according to scripture, he was a hairy man that wore a leather belt. That's a picture for you right there. But he came as a prophetic voice, And very much like what we believe the church is today, is meant to be, a prophetic voice to a nation that was dry, that was desolate, that really needed some clarity and some direction. The name Elijah actually means the Lord is God. And his whole life was about bringing the nation back to God, about extinguishing and eliminating the false gods and bringing people back to a place of worship. And he burst onto the scene in 1 Kings 17 in verse 1 with a prophetic announcement to the king Ahab. He basically says this, he goes, it's not going to rain and there will be no dew on the ground for 3 years. Now, when you understand the impact of this, it's actually in defiance to one of the Baal gods, who is the god of rain. So Elijah's coming in the name of the Lord to say, hey, you know what? I'm gonna confront right now to the king. I'm gonna confront one of his wife's greatest gods, the god of rain, and I'm gonna tell the god of rain that my God, the Lord God, the King above all kings, the Lord of lords, says and declares it's not gonna rain for 3 years. And so he says this to the king. And then the word of God comes to Elijah and says this, now run and go hide yourself by the brook Cherith. Now, it's interesting that this name, the brook Cherith, the word Cherith means cutting. And for almost 12 months, Elijah, I mean, you imagine, he bursts onto the scene, never really been heard of before here, pronounces this prophetic word about what God is up to in the land. And, you know, there's going to be no rain, and suddenly the faucet is turned off and the land begins to dry. And then God says, now go hide yourself, because Ahab, he's going to be cranky, man. And his wife is even crankier, and they're going to be after you. So God goes and hides him in a place. It wasn't a tropical paradise. It was a place called the Cutting. That can only mean one thing right there. And it would have been easy for Elijah at that time to feel like a bit of a, you know, I liken it to, if you remember from the 80s, Dexy's Midnight Runners. They had one hit, Come On Eileen. You know, you're all going to be singing it right now, 1982. And it's one of my greatest songs. But they had one hit. They were a one-hit wonder. And they've been gone ever since. And Elijah could have felt like that. You know, I've had my moment, but now I'm hidden away. And for almost a year, no one heard of him. No one knew where he was. He was in lockdown. He was in isolation. He was cut off from the world. And unfortunately, a lot of Australia is right at the same place where Elijah found himself. Maybe different circumstances, but in the same situation. And while we're in this season of social distancing and lockdowns and separation and disconnection, can I encourage you in three things that God did in Elijah's life, three lessons that he learned that I believe all of us in this season can also learn. Number one is this, is that Cherith, this place, was a place of protection. I want you to see something in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 4. It says this. This is what God tells Elijah while he's hiding by the cutting. Drink from the brook and eat what the ravens bring you, for I have commanded them to bring you food. Now, here's the thing. God hides him away, not for any other reason other than protection. Because if you read on in the next chapter, Ahab is sending his spies out looking for this hairy man in a leather belt who was prophesying, who stopped the rain, and the land's gone into famine now. There's a drought. You know, what's going on here? Everyone was out looking for Elijah, and God hides him for his own protection. You know, it really is troubling to me, as I'm sure it would be to you, at this time when we're being encouraged to stay away from social gatherings and, you know, keep our community really family bound and really be wise about who we associate with and where we go and where we travel. And it changes every day. And we know that still some people throw caution to the wind. Still some people see this as almost like social distancing is an enemy against us. And yet the laws are in place to actually help us. And for Elijah in this time, you know, it may have felt like I feel a bit isolated, I feel a bit insignificant, but really God was trying to protect him. And I want to encourage each and every one of us today. And maybe, you know, today you're at home and you know, maybe you don't have a lot of family. And this is a really tough time, and I get it. And we're doing as much as we can to keep you connected and, you know, praying that you connect yourself with other people. But also there's a spiritual thing that's going on here. God wants to keep his shield, his favor around you. He wants to protect you from any of the strategies and the opportunities that the enemy may want to have to try and come in and impact your life. Psalms 5 verse 12 says this, "For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield." And Elevation Church, I want to encourage you today. The favor of God is for you. The favor of God is on you. It's not something that God is waiting to give you once his anger passes. The Bible said, I read it earlier, that his anger is for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime. His favor means that God wants to set you up to succeed. God loves you. He wants to protect you. He is a shield. Think about this. If there's any Star Trek fans, I'm not one personally. I'm embarrassed if you are one. For you, you need to get a life. But if you are, you remember the force field, the shield that they would put around the Enterprise that would protect them from the Klingons. And I know too much about this, don't I? And whatever else was attacking them. That's what favor is like upon our life. And when we walk in that favor and we understand and we receive it by faith, not by performance, not by, well, I need to listen to the podcast, you know, 15 times before God loves me. God loves you right now. He wants the best for your life, for your children, for your marriage, for your business. And God used Cherith, the cutting, as a place of protection for Elijah. The second thing is this. Cherith was a place of provision. And this is a big one, because I know, like you, the same is for me, that there's a lot of anxiety right now. There's a lot of uncertainty about the financial stability, about, you know, you see the bottom line for your own business or your own personal finances slowly being eroded and it's unsure. And I have no doubt across Elevation and other INC churches that are with us today that there have been people that have lost their jobs already that have been impacted by this situation. But let me read to you again in 1 Kings 17 verse 5 and verse 6, it says this, "So Elijah did as the Lord told him and camped beside Cherith Brook, east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and evening, and he drank from the brook." So every morning, I mean, this is the first Uber Eats that ever existed via raven. And it's interesting that ravens were an unclean bird. So for Israelite people, weren't even meant to touch or certainly not get food from a raven. But here's the encouragement to every person today, every business person, every mum and dad right now that's looking at the bottom line, every young person that may have lost your part-time work, that God is supernatural and he has the ability to supply your need and my need. God has the ability to circumnavigate circumstances to bring provision to you. And it may be a little bit, you know, strange. It may happen in unconventional ways. It may not just be through a wage that you've been relying on, but I am believing, especially for our business community right now, I want to speak faith into you. Yes, we need wisdom. Yes, we need to look at where we can scale back and maybe, you know, batten down the hatches for a while. But do not stop believing that God's favor is upon you and that he can still cause contracts to be signed. He can still cause houses to sell. He can still cause clients to be calling you. He can still cause sales. He can still cause your business to prosper or the business that you are a part of to prosper. God is a supernatural, sovereign God. And like Elijah, we've got to understand the favor factor, that unconventional, a raven would bring meat and bread. I mean, you know, I mean, it wouldn't have been easy. I mean, we're talking about God here. He could have just whoopah, you know, there's a deli over there and there's a pizza bar over there. But God is so brilliant at using what is around us to deliver provision to us. And I want to encourage you in that. Matthew 7 verse 11 says this, "So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, I want you to hear this. How much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? The words of Jesus himself. So even though we want to see our kids blessed with clothing and be good to them, how much more does your heavenly Father, does our Father who favors us, want to give us good gifts? You know, in this story, because there was a, it's quite ironic that God would hide Elijah by a brook where there's water to drink and a raven to feed him. And yet Elijah, according to the word of the Lord, had prophesied a drought. So everything else is drying up, but he's sitting by the brook Cherith, the cutting place, and God is supplying his need. But when you read the last part, verse 7 of 1 Kings 17, it says this, "But after a while, the brook dried up, for there was no rainfall anywhere in the land." So slowly but surely, the stream turned into a trickle. Then it would have turned into a puddle, and then it would have turned into a handful, and then it would have turned into just a small sip. And so Elijah is watching his provision slowly dwindle. And maybe today you feel a little bit like that. Maybe you're wondering, God, I started this business. I got into this because I felt you call me into it, and I see this dwindling. Elijah knows what it's like. He knows both the provision that God supplied, but he also knows that in the lay of the land that, hey, the reality is that this provision is beginning to dwindle. Let me read to you from Psalm 27, verse 13. It says this, "Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of the living." I am confident that I will see, not hear about. There's a huge difference in assuming God's goodness and seeing evidence of his goodness. Let's not just be a people that kind of sing about God's goodness, but we actually see it. We see it in our kids. We see it in our marriage. We're actively looking for the hand of God. We're not looking at what all the doomsayers are telling us is going to go wrong. And we're not all sitting here saying as medical experts what we think the world's going to be like in 2 years and, you know, in 6 months, whatever. But we're looking for the evidence of God's goodness. Let's not be people who just talk about it, but let's actually see it. And that leads me into my third and my final encouragement for you today. It's this. His resource begins to dwindle. He knows something's happening. And so Cherith became a place of preparation. We read this then in verse 8 of 1 Kings 17. It says this. "Then the Lord said to Elijah," remember, this is after a year of him sitting by the brook in total isolation. "Then the Lord said to Elijah, 'Go and live in the village of Zarephath near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you.'" Now, interesting that the land is in drought and God instructs a widow to feed Elijah. So let me give you the third point here, that Cherith is a place of preparation. Right from the moment Elijah found himself by the brook Cherith, there was protection, there was provision, but there was also a preparation. What was the preparation for? And what is God maybe wanting to prepare in us right now while we go through this unprecedented moment, this unprecedented time that the world has never gone through before? My generation has never seen anything like this before. Well, what's God up to here? What's happening on the chessboard here? Maybe God is getting us ready. Maybe God is educating us as a people, as the church, that church is not the Sunday service, that the church is what happens Monday to Sunday. It's the activity of the people. It's the belief. It's the conviction of the people that really matters. Maybe God is getting us ready for our best days. It's interesting that Cherith means cutting. Zarephath, where God sent him to be fed by a widow, actually means crucible. It's the place. This is what crucible means. Crucible means this. It's the place of the intersection of trials and different elements leading to the creation of something new. So get this. God takes Elijah from the cutting place to the crucible. I mean, you'd think things would be looking up, you know, cutting to crucible. But here's the thing. If we had time in the next chapter, all of Elijah's life led up to chapter 18. It's called Mount Carmel. So he goes from the cutting to the crucible to Mount Carmel. God's getting him ready to draw a line in the sand to call Israel back to one of the greatest revivals that Israel ever knew, where they walked away from the worship of Baal, and Elijah single-handedly saw fire from heaven come down and slayed 850 of the false prophets, you know, infuriated Jezebel, began the downfall of Ahab and Jezebel, and the restoration and reconciliation of people back to God. All happens in chapter 18. So it starts with the cutting. It moves into the crucible, getting ready for Mount Carmel. God was preparing him. And I believe in this season, and it may not feel like it, it may not look like it, but God's getting us ready. God's getting his church ready. God's getting his people ready. This is about you and I relying on our faith in Christ, not just a preacher's faith, not our parents' faith. This is about your faith and my faith, our belief in Jesus himself, not someone else's belief on our behalf. And so today, as I come to a close, what is your cutting? What is your crucible? Or maybe, what is your Mount Carmel? Or what is God getting you ready for? All I know is this, in this season, and I feel this prophetically for us as a network of churches, that God's up to something. And I want to encourage you, and I want to pray over you and into you right now, that through all these three stages is that Jesus would be glorified, that your life would shine, and that we would seize our day to actually become a change and be the difference that we want to be. So let me pray for you right now. Father, I thank you for every person listening today online. Father, I prophesy right now protection. I prophesy provision. I prophesy preparation. Father, that like Elijah, we would be a people that would understand the times, that we would feel and think and see the evidence of your favor all around us. Lord, that we're not just going to hear other people's stories, but we are going to see it. I prophesy into every business and every business person right now, confidence, faith in the never-ending, never-changing word of God that is our security. It's the rock that we stand on, our love for Christ. Father, you will never leave. Lord, you will never forsake the righteous. Father, I thank you today for favor upon men and women, favor upon our children, favor upon our singles, favor upon marriages, favor upon our older population. And Father, I thank you for whatever it is that you're up to get us ready for our Mount Carmel. I pray that we would embrace these days. Father, that we would come through them bigger people on the inside than we ever were on the outside. And I thank you for it. You know, just while eyes are closed, I want to pray a prayer right now for anyone who's listening today that's never given their heart to Jesus Christ. This is your best time to surrender your life. We need now more than ever the direction of Jesus in our life. We need to know that we are loved, that we are accepted now more than ever. When the world is going chaotic and becoming disconnected, we need to know that we're becoming more connected with the Creator of the universe. And there'd be people listening today, and you don't know, you don't have that assuredness, you don't have that security, you don't have that sense of confidence that God loves me for who I am. And I want to pray for you today. And right through every living room, every car, wherever you're listening today, I want us to pray this prayer together, out loud, together, because there will be people that are praying this for the first or second time. And today is about reconciling you back to Jesus Christ. So let's pray this out loud, simply together. Jesus, I give you my life. I thank you for dying for me. I thank you for loving me, not based on my performance, but based upon your grace for my life. So I receive you right now. I surrender my life to you. Jesus, I pray that you help me. Amen.